I need
Love
to use the bathroom.
Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the king of king himself, the man who's running for president of the United States of America. Yes, indeed, I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only.
It is Sean Black, back in the building. Of course, I have to be the VP.
Yeah, yes, indeed. And on the phone line, we have the first lady.
Oh, Lord.
She's not on the air right now. Oh, well, we don't know where Zanisha B is right now. Maybe right now she's at the Democrat convention right now getting some guys or doing what she does best. But it is what it is. The show must go on, right?
She's going to punch you in the throat when she sees you. You know that.
Like I give a damn. But other than that, the number to call is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Sean Black, are you ready to piss some people off?
Let me think about that.
Okay. Well, first off, I'd like to piss you off first before I get cut off by Blog Talk Radio. It could happen any minute now.
Of course.
But, Sean Black, you're a very smart guy. I know you for 20 years or so. God bless.
Thank you.
But sometimes you could be wrong on a few things. Nobody's
all
perfect.
Right.
No one cannot be like me. But I remember on this show for a long time now, there's no secret that you cannot stand Donald Trump.
Of course.
There's no secret that you have bashed Donald Trump in the past. And you talk about the history of Donald Trump. But, Sean Black, you said, I remember this part, Not exact words, that the people would not go for a trash or a bigot or a racist like Donald Trump. Now, we just had a Republican convention last week where your boy Donald Trump has accepted the nomination to run for president of the United States. Like we say this all the time, if you thought years ago, I mean, you heard about Donald Trump running. Yeah. No one took it seriously. I did not take it seriously. I crack up jokes about it all the time. Now, the picture came clearly that, wow, this man have a 50% shot of becoming your next president of the United States of America. We all thought it was a joke, like I said, but it became real and real last time. You and I both watched the convention, bits and pieces of it.
Yeah.
I don't... Of course, I have my feelings, you have your feelings. But, once again, Sean, you was wrong. People are feeding into Donald Trump and his nonsense and his racism and his bigotry. Now, what was your thought of Donald Trump's speech that Thursday night?
Well, I'll say this.
Is that your boy?
Yeah, of course. I'll put it to you like this. Donald Trump does what he does best, which is sell snake oil, two-piece suit, whatever the heck he has on his head, and he comes across as, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And the tone of his speech, the tone of the convention, the animus between the parties was evident in everything he said. With everything was started from his daughter, his son doing speaking, his wife, who we talked about off air, who pretty much plagiarized the First Lady Michelle Obama's speech from 2008 for the most part. And then we get to Donald Trump, and I have to say, Trump riled up the rabble rousers. And on that sense, I'll give you my honest opinion. Donald Trump with his speech, came across as a very egomaniacal, self-centered, self-important, self-indulgent human being who still has tinges of a God complex when he did his speech, when he basically did the same thing that he normally does, which is paint the country in a doom and gloom situation. That was pretty much what his speech was about. It's doom and gloom. The world is falling apart. We don't need NATO anymore. Crime through the streets, guns everywhere, all of this other stuff that's going on. I think we know that the country is could be in better shape. But the tone was, I and I alone, Donald Trump, will be able to fix everything that's wrong with the world. I can fix wars. I can fix trade. I can make sure that the crime on the streets ends the day I'm elected. I. When we all know it has to be a team effort. It has to be Congress. It has to be the Senate. It has to be the House of Representatives. It has to be local, the local government, local chapters, all of that stuff. He didn't touch on any of that stuff. He didn't touch on any solutions that he was going to do in his speech or what he was thinking he was going to do to try to help this country get along. He didn't address any of those things during his speech. And all he did for the most part was bloviate and prop himself up of how great he is and what he's going to do for this country. And that's who he is pandering to. And that's the saddest part about this whole deal, is because that ideal is what is getting the country, at least the people that he has backing him, riled up. And that's where we are right today.
Okay, so did any part of the speech change your mind a little bit about Donald Trump?
Not at all.
You know what, this guy may have like a little bit of a chance of making a great change in this country?
He is not going to make any change because he has no experience in government. And this is the problem. When you have somebody who has no real backing in knowing relationships with countries, knowing relationships with economy in certain areas, although we know he's made millions and millions and millions of dollars, but a lot of that money he came into from his dad, in general, he does know certain things as far as about making money and that sort. The problem is he doesn't have all of that extra experience that is needed to know what to do, what not to do with a certain country, how not to start a war because of something you said. I can just see something happening overseas that Trump didn't like, and then he tweets an angry tweet and sends it off somewhere. I can just see that happening right now.
But, okay, all right, he does not have experience, so you surround yourself with people that have experience. That's what you have a cabinet for, right? That's what you have advisors for.
Yes.
They help you make that decision. So maybe that's where he could get his help from. Of course,
and
let's be
here's
honest.
The problem.
Like you always, uh-huh.
All those people that he needs within a cabinet, nobody wants any part of him. And that's because of that misogynistic, egotistical personality of himself that goes out there. How many people he has tried to get, well, I would like this guy to be in my cabinet. I'd like this guy to be my vice president. I'd like to have this guy as a secretary. Nobody wants anything to do with him. And that was evidenced by the fact that so many people backed out of the convention last week in the first place.
Yes, you're right about that, but you're wrong, too. That he will always find someone willing to take that job. You may be a low of low, but someone will always want to accept that job. Because that's money and power.
Yeah.
Whether you like Donald Trump or not, someone will take it.
It'll be somebody that doesn't have anything to lose that takes that job. That's pretty much what it is. And that's what Mike Pence, his vice presidential running mate, is. Somebody that is looking to maybe further his own career, and probably one of the few people that's out there, even within that dynamic, they still don't have the same views on how to govern anyway. So we'll see how that dynamic plays out.
Isn't that the same governor that had that problem with gay marriages in Indiana?
Yes, it is. That's Mike Pence, former governor of Indiana. And as a lot of people realize, if you saw the interview that they both did on 60 Minutes last week, it was one of the most awkward-looking interviews you would have ever seen between somebody running for president and their running mate. It just looked uncomfortable. There's certain things that they don't agree with on certain aspects of what Trump wants to do, Pence is opposed to, back and forth. We'll see what happens there. But here's the issue. The reasoning, and I stated this before to a friend of mine off air just yesterday, it's amazing how when you think Donald Trump is down, he's opened his mouth and says the wrong thing. He stuck his foot in his mouth again, and I'm going to get into another thing that he's talked about a little bit as the show goes on, that could be all over TV in the next day or so. He has said and offended so many more people, and yet every time something happens, the Democratic Party does something even more stupid and pushes Trump back in and makes the race tight again. Just based on what he said and things that have come out of his mouth, you would think he would be completely out of the race, one of the most unpopular people out there, and the Democratic Party keeps making him a better-looking choice.
Okay, so, all right. That's the key thing right there, Democrats. You have the Republicans and the Democrats, two groups that most of us can't stand. But, like Max texted us earlier, you have the Trump organization of the KKK versus the Clinton Corrupt Corporation. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, pick your poison. Which one will give you less poison? They're both parties are going to kill you anyway. So which one? You want to die fast or die slow? Which one you rather take? Because, you know, Clinton is no better also, give or take.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that don't like Hillary Clinton or her brand at all.
Well, before we get into that, let's talk about the convention about Ted Cruz. He dropped a few mic drops, telling people to vote with their conscience. In other words, he's not endorsing Trump. He's not really pushing people to go vote for Hillary, but either vote for Hillary or don't vote at all. In other words, don't vote for Trump. Is that a problem within the Republican Party if he does not get major sponsorship like that?
Yeah, there has been a huge schism between members of the Republican Party. We all know that, one, they seem to be a giant room full of 8-year-olds that don't get along because they don't agree with anything. Though there were two things that they agree on. The Democrats shouldn't win, and they didn't want Donald Trump to win. Trump went through 17 other candidates to get to where he is now. And the fact remains that none of them could beat him based on the fact that he didn't really even pull policy or say that I'm a better choice because of. It was because he basically browbeat and insulted his way through the entire race. And
okay,
now the people that are there, they realize that. And with Cruz, he did not – first of all, Ted Cruz is in a lot of instances just as bad as Trump. The problem is he tried to out-Trump Trump, and it did not work.
Okay, but listen to yourself. Trump beat out 16 other candidates.
Mm-hmm.
16 people that have technically speaking, experience in politics. Trump have no experience at all in politics. But he beat 16 other people? Why? He bullied his way out, but he told the people what they want to hear. He preached hatred. He get hatred. That's why I'm a little bit fan of Trump. Not because I'm not saying he's the best man for the job. Yes, he's a racist, but at least you know he's a racist. He's a bigot. He's an a-hole. Compared to Hillary, she's hiding something. She's playing the true politics, always hiding something. The public does not need to know. Compared to Trump, you know what, Sean? I don't like you. You're fired. You know what, Sean? I'm going to blow your country up. You know what, Sean? Your wife is a slut. You know?
The direct approach.
Yes. America loved that type of stuff for some reason. And during the convention, these are the whitest, Latinos ever so supported Donald Trump down there for some reason.
Hmm.
When I saw the signs Latino for Trump, I'm like, damn, you're very light.
Yeah.
To be a Mexican or a Latino. But what do I know? If I had said something like that, I'd be a racist, right?
Man, I tell you, it is the single saddest thing that I noticed when I looked at the convention and looked at the convention floor when they started showing, as he was doing his speech, all of the people that were involved that were cheering. And I saw women, I saw African-Americans, I saw Hispanics that were there, that were looking and cheering and somewhat going crazy over this. And I'm taken aback by the fact that when I actually looked at this and realized all of the racist, misogynistic things he said, and yet here we are in this entire place in Cleveland, Ohio, with a lot of the things that have happened. We had a lot of the Black Lives Matter movement happen in the area. We had police demonstrations in the area. We had a lot of these things happen. And yet the same people that he offended on more than one occasion went and showed up en masse and cheered for this guy and rooted for this guy. And I still to this day don't understand how he was able to get all of those people in those droves to the convention.
Okay.
And that, to me, is crazy.
All right, we have another caller. Max. Max Millionaire, you're on the air. Max, I'm so sorry about the text that you sent out earlier. Trump and the Klan convention versus Hillary and the corrupted campaign. I like that a lot. Can you tell us your opinion about the Trump Klan convention?
Well, the Klan convention, that's just me saying that. What Sean said, I speak with exactly what he said. The only thing I can say is you have to be there in person to really experience it. So I don't want to say too much because I never experienced it live. But what I'm seeing on TV, it's frightening. But maybe if I was there in person, I might get a different view. But sometimes, you know, media like to play a lot of things.
You know what? That's a good concept of that. But I was part of the convention. Most of the guys, most of the speakers, of course, I understand you have to bash your opponent. Talk about.
Hello.
That wasn't me.
Yeah, I think you might have lost his
hello.
His mic. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, I'm on my phone now.
Okay.
The way the guys was bashing Obama in 8 years of his presidency, like he did the worst job in the world, like America's in bigger deep hole due to Obama. I'm like, how can they trash a man who's trying to do this job and trying to clean up this nation by himself? There's one thing you bash Hillary, which I understand that, but to bash Obama, like he's the worst president? Did everybody forget about Bush already? And his 8 years? And the reason why we was in the mess in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
But they will refuse to give Obama any credit in the world, which I understand that's a Republican job. But the Republicans, there's a rally itself is very scary, like Max said. Something about that rally of people loving hate.
Yes.
Like, how much hate do you need in your soul to hate Mexicans, to hate blacks, to hate Jews, Italians, whatever your hate is? Donald Trump is preaching hate, and that's why I'm very concerned.
Well, you want to hear something else that should be concerning to you? We didn't really talk about it much, but you probably heard that Fox News, the head of Fox News had to step down. His name is Robert Ayers, I think his name is, or Roger Ayers. He initially, before he became head of Fox News, was a campaign manager and helped run President Bush's campaign. I believe he worked on the first Bush's campaign in 1988 and helped him to the presidency. He became eventually the head of Fox News. The reason why I bring that up is because he resigned because of sexual harassment charges involved at the network with, I believe, two or three different female anchors who are suing him, not the network, Here's the issue. He's a friend of Donald Trump's. And he was Trump was interviewed on Sunday about his friend Roger Ayers stepping down. He called him a wonderful person. He's a great person. If he would like, I might even hire him to, you know, to help out with the campaign. That in and of itself is scary, because the way Trump basically he diminished what happened with the sexual harassment suits involved also shows more and more of that misogynistic part that we've just talked about. This is the guy that's running for president, and this is what he's going to do?
So what's wrong with second chances? If that's your friend, you made a mistake, you know what, that's your personal business, you're good at your job, I hire you to do a job, right?
You don't put somebody who's going through a sexual harassment suit, who has openly been, and I believe there's some evidence out there of the situation that's going on, with other things that have been quoted and brought in that's going to be part of this lawsuit, that have been there in the open. And you don't talk glowingly like that so soon after he has stepped down, and then just poo-poo the instincts that are going on with the people that have this trial going, or at least have the suit going. Because the women that are involved in this are all anchors, including the quote-unquote rock star of the network in Megyn Kelly, who said she was sexually harassed by him as well. And he's basically just diminished it. Well, it's unfortunate, you know, but he's still a great guy, and he's still a great person, and he's still so-and-so and so-and-so. If somebody was an athlete that said the same kind of deal, we would be having a bigger conversation about this right now.
True. I'm like, Sean, once again, I know how you are. I know how passionate, and you always go by what's right, what is right, what is wrong. You have to go with business is business. He has to do what's right for business and put himself on the map even further to get the seat in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to Matt and Sean, I have another call in a couple of minutes. What do you think is more scarier, that someone like Donald Trump can run for president, like anyone could become a president, or the people in the United States are that stupid to fall for the speech that he's giving out? What do you think is more scarier?
I'll throw that one to Max first before I answer that one. What do you think?
Well, you got to say something about that with the people. It's all based on, remember the last eight, seven years that Sean's mentioning during the Obama regime. How many times Obama been attacked and been questioned about gun charges? Obama has challenged a lot of things that America is not ready to change. Obama has changed the gay rights. Half America hates that. Obama is going after the Second Amendment. Half America hates that. Obama has changed the health plan. America hates that. These are things that are frustrating people. That's why Trump is using those tools to anger a lot of society.
Okay, Sean?
I'll tell you this. Based on what I've seen, I think it's scarier that the American people are actually falling for the rope-a-dope, so to speak. And the reason why I say that is we've all stated this before. Trump and his misogyny and his racism and his xenophobic tendencies are all out in the open. It's not like he's hiding it. It's out there for you to see, and it's disseminated to however way you want to go and look at it. The problem is that there are people here in this country, the 300 million people that are still in the United States of America, there is a huge section of people, apparently, that believe this stuff that's coming out of his mouth.
Okay,
and that's the saddest part of it.
I'm sorry, 210, you're on the air, and I got 707. You're coming up next. 210.
What up? This is Brother B. What's up? What up, y'all?
What's going on?
And 707?
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's me, man. It's the K-Dog, one and only.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, it's the pirate. What's going on, bro? Hey, man, what's going on, man? Yeah, after a vacation, man, it was good, man. But,
that's
man.
Good.
All right, man. So, Brother B, what's scary? What's scarier? Donald Trump becoming a president and with his speeches, or the people that's believing into this garbage is more scary? That basically are people that stupid to vote for this?
Well, listen, I just saw Independence Day, too. And, yeah, what's scary is how people think that aliens can come, like American people, the people in this world think that some aliens just come over here and we can just knock them out with a little bit of bullshit bombs and stuff like that. Like, that's really scary. Like, to me, it's like the audacity of a lot of people out there to really think that this guy, I mean, I'm sorry, I guess he just represents how they've been feeling. And that's what's really scary. It is. He just represents everything that they've been wanting to say, how they feel, and they have their spokesman. And that's who they want in the White House. They want the spokesman. And they bet you believe they're going to want him to act. They're going to expect the wall to be built. They're probably going to expect a few people to go back to Africa or Canada. You know, they're going to want things to happen. They, like you said, bring America back. I don't know where the hell it ever went.
I think we know what that means.
Yeah, well, I know what it means. And if it means, listen, every time I go to Facebook, and I'm getting tired of Facebook, like every time I turn on Facebook, it's like there's something about being posted about police shooting some people. And now it's not just black people, it's other white people and the kids. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? And it's like, yo, I mean, did this rhetoric really come along with Trump? Because if he's amping everybody to just start purging this shit, I mean, hey, we might as well just go out there and start with a couple of hammers and some broomsticks and start going crazy out goddamn stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, all right, J-Dog.
Well, all I got to say is this, is that, you know, from where I was, I did see part of the convention. And I did hear Donald Trump's speech. And let me just say this. Donald Trump is, and first off, hey, what's up, Max? How you doing, bro? How's everybody doing?
Well, I'm right here, man. Yo, respectfully, hope you in peace.
Yeah, man. You know, all I got to say is this, is that Donald Trump is saying something that Americans have been wanting to say for the longest. I mean, the racism and the rhetoric of hatred that I heard in this speech, it's setting America back maybe over 60 years. And, you know, when you're going on the attack against people of different religions, primarily the Muslims, and you're not speaking about bringing America together, because everyone's trying to see, oh, let's bring America together, but Donald Trump is not about that. Donald Trump, with his hateful rhetoric, he's saying things boldly. And, you know, it's bringing back that hatred that was there that we would see in all the White Citizens Council's meeting. That's what the RNC felt like to me. And I feel that with the Trump presidency, it's scary for people here in America. It is scary.
Okay, so let me bring in some math. So, Matt, now we're talking about Trump. We got Hillary, a corporate person that's very corrupted. What can we do? Should we go for a hatred guy or someone who cannot really trust? At least with Donald Trump, we know what he's all about. With Hillary, we still don't know who she is, really. One day she's good, the next minute she's bad. What should we do as a public?
Wow. Well, you know, I mentioned this to a couple of my friends. Both of them are evil. Both of them are disgusting. One is a liar. The other one is the dirtiest truth there is. Donald Trump is just basically honest about himself. He's not going to hide it. He's very forward. He's just telling it like it is. Like I just said minutes ago, he was displeased with Obama's regime, and he has personal issues with Obama. And he's just telling it like, I hate all these things that's happening. I know you guys feel the same way. I'm here to change it and bring it back to America. and they fall for it. But Hillary, she's a corrupt bitch. Honestly, she's corrupt.
Okay, Sean?
You're in trouble.
Well, I think the thought process, is, it brings me back to an expression, better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. And I think that's where a lot of people fall into this. And going on to this whole, the two conventions is a complete difference in the fact that the scandal that happened with the emails that were leaked just before the Democratic National Convention, where Debbie Wasserman Schultz is now ousted as the chairman because there was this the Democrats that were there were emailed as trying to kind of push the favor toward away from Bernie Sanders and toward Hillary Clinton. I think we looked at that and found out that we knew that that was a tone that was there. And as I stated before, they're basically giving the Republican Party brownie points in the eyes of people that don't that already don't trust the Clinton regime or trust that brand. And I think when you look at it from that standpoint, will it hurt Hillary's chances of winning? On some level, maybe now, early on, we're still about 3 or 4 months away from the election. But I think that what's going to end up happening is when we go and kind of break this apart, it still has to come down to Hillary and her experience and knowing what to do. And is it favorable enough to keep those relationships abroad in trade and all those things working as opposed to anything that Donald Trump has done? Because we all know that he is friends with Vladimir Putin, who a lot of people know has done a lot of corrupt things over the years. He's partnered with him over certain projects in the past as well. And there was this whole idea that the email leaks was leaked by a Russian, I believe it was supposedly somebody from Russia that it allegedly leaked the emails just before. I tell you, it's crazy from either side. And I don't know if there is a real plus outside of the fact that Donald Trump is just, in my eyes, and I think in a lot of people's eyes, just the wrong person for this job.
You're saying he's the wrong person, but Hillary is no better. So once again, is Donald Trump the savior or a nightmare for this country?
I think Trump is much more the nightmare than anything else. Because
yeah, he is.
If Trump, if the best way I can put it is, if Hillary becomes president, you're going to still see a continuance of certain things that have helped people in this country. And maybe certain agendas may be added on top of to kind of help out the country and move it forward. If Donald Trump is elected president, you're going to see taxes go up. You're going to see a general malaise that is going on in Congress extend. You're going to see a lot of business relationships that the United States has overseas die or get hurt. And you're going to see an overall perception of the United States of America in the eyes of other countries as very, very weak. And that is something that is going to be an issue if the Donald Trump ticket wins.
Okay, Brother B. Oh, man. Yeah, I know. Take it in, Brother B. Trump will be president. I know.
That's hard to think about.
All I can
think about,
you know,
think about that. Donald Trump will be president of the United States. A good 50% chance of that happening.
Well, all I can say at this point is prepare for war. Basically, we should have been preparing for like this a long time ago. But you know, history constantly repeats itself, and we don't take heed to it. And as the black people, we don't take heed to it. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to prepare our children mentally, and physically, and spiritually for what's coming up. We should have been, like I said, we should have been doing this because nothing really has changed. It's just different players. This may be how bad it's going to get for our time. You know what I'm saying? We don't know how it went for our parents' time and the time before that.
But the thing is this. Yeah, it's going to be issues. You know why? I think some of us, or a lot of us, are putting ourselves into, like, fear mode. And my whole attitude is just, I'm going to ride it out and see what happens. Cause either way, I don't give a fuck about none of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have no intentions on voting because ever since Bush and Gore, I lost my faith in the voting system a long time ago.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way.
Okay,
and,
what about the people that say, you know, people died for you, for the right to vote, yada yada yada. That's just
those, and vote. And those are the same people that are probably sitting back getting kickbacks from people like Trump or people like Hillary. Like, it's those same house Negroes who talk that talk, but they don't really walk the walk. You know what I'm saying? And I really don't want to hear nothing from any of them, because if you look at it, I don't expect anybody to come to our rescue or come to our defense. It's like, it's going to be what it is. If you ain't going to pull your bra up and your drawers up to help yourself, then we just all screwed. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Well, Brother B, I can say that I agree with you on the point, because let me just say this. It's like, when it comes to the voting system, too, voting systems can't be trusted. There's no doubt about that. But however, you know, the rights of the people is to vote. Now, you could go out there and vote for whoever you want to vote for. That is your right. But at the end of the day, for people who, whether you agree with me or not, but I'm just going to say it, for those people who cannot pull their socks off and ask people to do things for them, you're more of a loser than anything. You're not going to win, no matter what, because if you're asking for people to do things for you, you're asking for the government to do things for you, you're asking for things to be done for you. Let me just say this. You want something, you work for it. You want something, you keep your eyes on the prize and you get it. But don't tell me that, that begging people to do things for you will work, because it doesn't. It's never worked. You have to do things for yourself. And now, as for voting, hey, when it comes to Hillary or Trump, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because personally, for me, I'm voting. I'm gonna vote.
Okay.
Whether you like Hillary or whether you like Trump, like I said, damned if you do, damned if you don't. The choice is everybody.
Okay, but what about the black voters that are so concerned about what's going on? Because we're going through hell right now as black people.
Well, this is the thing with the black voters. This is
the thing with and all that stuff.
This is the thing with black voters. Now, people who sit there and complain about things, but you know what's sad about it? And I'm sure Brother B will say, you cannot sit there and complain about, you know, and guys, fellas, if you agree with me, feel free to cut in whenever you want to. But if you feel so strongly about something, we as a people, we do have that right to vote. And yes, I will give respect where respect is due, especially to those who marched, those who gave their lives to vote. Okay, that I understand that. But however, when things go wrong in our community, when it comes to the police shootings, there should not be a time that one day we're mad and the next day it's business as usual. That right there doesn't make sense.
Because we're so used
that,
to it. We're so
exactly,
used to it.
Exactly. We get complacent and we're like, oh, well, we did what we had to do. No, you can't just sit back and relax, because you know what? That's the same thing. When it happened to Alton Sterling, next thing we hear about Philando Castile. How many more and more others? Even last week something happened. There's no sitting down.
I look at it like this, brother. I look at it like this. You see the situation with Trayvon Martin?
Yeah.
This guy wore and he's able to make jokes, talk shit, all this and all
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
All these cats made all these guys. You had so-called Crips and Bloods and everybody making
yeah,
noise
all of that
to do something to this dude, and he's still walking. So it's like,
exactly.
You know, shut the hell up. You know, if you're not
exactly.
really, if you're not going to be a part of the if you're not going to be the solution, then you're a part of the problem.
Problem.
And it's like I said, it's interesting how we allow things to continuously happen to us.
Exactly.
Black people go out and vote, and next thing you know, when things don't go their way, they want
to
blame
somebody.
They're
ready to protest.
So, Obama didn't do anything for us. Obama didn't do that. We thought Obama was supposed to come in and take every black person to give him $20.
Well, let me.
Okay.
Well, let me just say
Obama
this about
supposed
Obama.
To get reparations.
I'm gonna say this. Let me just say this, guys. First up, President Barack Obama is not the president of the black community. He is the president of the United States of America.
And that's the same thing Trump will be, and that's the same thing that Hillary,
and Hillary
will
be. They'll be the president of America, not the president of the community. That's what we as a people are failing in, because we sit down, we make noise one day, and next day it's business as usual. Ain't no business as usual. No,
okay.
There's no business as
all
usual.
Right. Hold on. I know Matt has preached to me, and I agree with him. Time after time again about education, our youth, and the black people. So, Max, Shauna had this discussion the other day. Yes, the black community need more money being generated. But why the Asian people support one another, Jews support one another, but we're coming out to blacks, we don't support one another too much. Instead, we try to rob each other or scam each other out to a certain degree. Why in the black community money is not being generated within ourselves?
We're not responsible.
There
you go.
To me? To me, right?
Yeah. Yes, Matt.
Well, just give you a brief. Like you said earlier about us blacks, we keep thinking about one thing, that's voting. It's not enough. We don't even form a committee. Like, Kerwin is representative of Jersey. Sean is representative of California. As Kerwin representative of Jersey, Kerwin has a committee of 100,000 of people of black. Sean has like 250,000 of people of black. Sean is the president, whatever position he holds. Sean built that committee, just like Kerwin did. Right now, we have no committee because we didn't build. All we just do is go online and vote. That's not enough. You got smart. So in order for us to take over politics, we have to start small committees. Kerwin has to be a borough president or either president of a freaking state or whatever position. You have to start small and then build. Voting is not enough. We haven't taken over anything.
Okay. All right, man. So what about Brother B, Sean, Hot Rod, you and I? We also have built small businesses, but we can't because another problem that we face is gentrification. We can't afford to open
we
up
get,
a small business.
You know,
well,
you know why
we allow
can't,
that.
We can't
to,
beat
you know
that.
Why?
We can't
beat
that
beat
because,
it.
Like,
cause
we because we allow
it. We allowed it. This is the thing. And I'm just going to say this, and again, people jump in. Now, since we're talking about an election, okay. Let me give you guys an example. You live in a messed up neighborhood. What do you do in a messed up neighborhood?
You leave.
No, you clean the mess up.
No, he's right. Back then,
we leave.
When we live in a bad neighborhood, you leave. You try to get a head cow.
No,
you know
what the thing is? I agree with Matt, but the only problem is our people don't have patience,
yep.
And too many of them want to be the boss. So as soon
yep.
as Matt starts a committee, he's going to have, you know, he got his people, there's going to be somebody that's going to talk to somebody else that's going to be like, you know, Max thinks he knows everything. And then somebody's going to go run over to Hot Rod and be like, yo, a Hot Rod thinks he knows everything. And the next thing
hey.
You know, somebody's going to try to take down Max, take down Hot Rod, take down Sean because they want to be the boss. And that's the goddamn problem.
Yo, God, let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. You know what else is, you know what you just described, Brother B?
Let me just put everything out in the open now. We as a people, we're the biggest haters ever. We're
haters of
haters.
Ourselves.
Haters
of
ourselves.
We hate ourselves.
Why is that? Why would we hate each other?
Okay,
why
because
can
you know
I
why?
Be successful?
No, this is the thing. Like Brother B said, we all want to be bored. Now, I may see, now, Max, are you there, bro?
I'm listening loud and clear.
Like, let's just say, Max bought a house. I'm gonna be hating on Max because he bought that house. Oh, what, Max thinks he's better than me? Oh, who he thinks he is?
And you know
Max
what, Max
better?
And Max probably just looking at it like, I just bought a house. It's your house. A place for me and
like,
my family
brother,
to reside.
Like, he'll look at me and say, you could do the same thing too. Instead of me asking him how he bought that house, how did he go about buying that house, I'm going to stand there and hate on him. I'm going to body slam him everywhere I go, saying Max thinks he's better than me.
So, Kato, right there you said, let me ask Max. Why is it that Max doesn't want to tell you how he got his house, but he don't trust you because he's looking out for himself only?
That's another problem. Because this is another problem that comes up. You see, the thing is, many of us become blinded by fortune and by fame and whatever way of education that we have. Now, just because Max bought a house and I'm going to be hating on Max, but Max is going to say like this, hey, listen, look, can I tell you how to do it? Oh, what's you going to tell me? Oh, you're trying to tell me something that, oh, you're trying to make me feel bad? That's the problem that we have.
Too much ego.
We have an ego. Like, oh, he thinks he's better than me, but yet he's going to try and help me, and I'm just going to stand there and slam him and say, nah, man, get out of here. You think you all are bad?
Okay.
Like,
there's a solution to that, though. There's a solution to solving that. Like what Rodney and Sean are doing, you guys have a medium. You have right now what you guys are doing is distribution. You're building some sort of bond. We're all educating each other. We're all letting out our issues. From the air, let it be. It's part of the solution.
Okay. Who's watching the Bernie Sanders right now? I can hear them in the background.
Yeah, I can hear it over, I think, on somebody's phone. Yeah.
That is, yeah. Let me step out. That is it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what issue, real quick? Another thing to add to the laundry list of issues that we as our people have is discipline. That's one of the reasons why this country, or I would just say the white man, fears like the fruit of Islam in the nation itself. Because it brings about, like, it teaches discipline. Like, you remember back in the days when the cats, you had five centers and they was, you know, speaking their math and, everybody, and there was discipline about, we had a discipline. And we do not really have that anymore because we're too busy focusing on being self-serving and everything else. And in the nation, it was never about an individual. It was about the collective.
Right.
And we don't have that mentality about the collective. It's all about individual. Like, I got this, and I got to do this for me, and this, that, and the third. But it's like, if you want to get on top of the roof, it's not going to just be one rung that you got to step on. You got to step on a few of them. You know what I'm saying? It's a collective. It's a process that you have to go through, the steps. But we choose not to take these steps together, a lot of them. And I just, I don't understand why.
Okay, we have Milton S. on the line now. Milton S., you know what to do.
Yeah, of course, I'm locked and loaded, First of all, it's fun and foul when the Democratic Convention and the WWE are like the same damn thing, basically. what I'm saying? They're trying to put Hillary over, WWE trying to put Roman Reigns over. It's the same bullshit. And if you saw the whole, on the news and on social media, the whole DNC and WikiLeaks thing, which basically sells by free email, that the whole situation was rigged. Now, that's not how conspiracy theorists talking shit, but basically documented that the Democratic Party just put Hillary up there on top. You know what I'm saying? It's basically
to push Bernie Sanders out.
Right. You know what I'm saying? And basically, only links up with the gay or Latinos or even black folks to a certain extent for their own benefit. So basically, the Democratic Party has been exposed for a bunch of bullshit. Which you know, I already kind of knew that, but hey, it is what it is. But this just shows that we as black people need to divorce ourselves from the American way of thinking and do what's good for us. And that's what we're leading to. What I know Max was talking about years, and other people were talking about how we got to do what's productive for us. You know what I'm saying? The problem with us is we can get caught up in this American way of thinking because we're trying to get accepted by America. Even though America has abused us and raped us, literally, and mistreated us, you know. That's what the whole Stockholm Syndrome was about. So basically, before we progress economically and physically, we must progress mentally. And that means we must, you know, to be blunt, get the white man his stuff back. And unlike Marcus Garvey, we packed up and went to Africa. We don't need to do that. We just need to create Africa here. You know what I'm saying?
We need to have our own black state. Let me ask you a question, brother.
Yeah.
What do you think about the concept of what does nobody and no one black in this country vote? Like, what if we just said we don't like anybody right now? So you know what? We're just going to do us. No thanks. We'll just pass this year. We're not going to vote. Like, we're going to start just, you know what I'm saying, just focusing on us, our situations, and what we need to do for us.
Listen, we don't do that. What you're saying there is not just politically. Actually, socially, economically, everything. We should just pull in ranks. We need to stop fucking with everybody else.
You're right.
That's the problem with us. We gotta be selfish.
Right.
We gotta do for us first. You know, so we out here trying to be Americans and trying to link up with everybody and accept everybody else's thing.
Let me just say this. And mind if I interrupt for brothers for a few seconds. Brother Milton, you hear me? Brother B,
yeah,
all of
you?
Yeah,
I'm kind
of
clear.
Okay,
Kato,
hurry up, Kato. We got 7 minutes left. Hurry up.
All right, 7 minutes left. Well, I'm just going to say like this. In the famous words of James Brown, I can get it my damn self. You know that song, Open Up? That's what we need to do. Stop relying.
Okay.
Stop begging people to accept us. We need to do for self. Look out for each other. That's the bottom line.
Well,
yeah.
here
we have to find out who we are first.
Yeah, here's part of the reason
why
I think a lot of the stuff that's going on as far as the gentrification and all of the other stuff that's happening, it's a lack of three things that African Americans and minorities in general seem to not have. They lack patience, their lack of respect as far as getting it, and lack of trust. Lack of patience in the fact that it's trying to, as an African American, trying to make your mark in the world, trying to make money, trying to get material things, trying to show you who you are. And there isn't that patience to build it over a small amount of time. So you don't have that one person going in and building the empire for other African Americans to follow. It's, I got to get mine before everyone else. Lack of respect from the sense that in most instances in minority communities, money equals respect. Power equals respect. And a lot of people don't get that respect because they don't know how to attain it in certain ways. And a lack of trust in the fact that a lot of African Americans, a lot of minorities, a lot of Hispanics, they don't trust the other person to look out for them while they're building their fortune to build, help someone else do the same.
Okay,
and when you put all three of those in that one thing.
Let me just get this out here right quick.
Go ahead.
First of all, fuck being African American, fuck being a minority, and fuck being black. And I'll tell you why. We are more. You understand what I'm saying? If you look at history, what the Moors did, you know, all over Europe, of basically taking that shit over, that's what we need to be. We need to be of a Moorish mindset. We are not a minority. There's nothing minor about us. Because we invented this whole shit. Everything. White men invented shit. They just took from us. So why are we calling ourselves a minority for? why are we calling ourselves African American when the Constitution don't even apply to us? And even Africa, that's just named after the guy that took over the continent in the first place.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? We need
right.
to get a Moorish mindset
right,
and handle our shit like we're supposed to.
Okay, we got 5 minutes left. I want to touch this topic real quickly. Max, what do you think about Michael Jordan and his funny book, The Silence, about the police shooting and black men, and he actually donated some money?
I think Michael Jordan just kind of saved his image as just being a nice guy on both parties. One party for the police and the other party for the blacks. He gave $1 million for NAACP. He gave $1 million for blacks. He's trying to keep a good face. He's still not showing each side. He's saying it as me.
Okay, Sean?
Yeah, I think that for somebody like Michael Jordan, who almost never says anything politically in public, I think he finally realizing he's the only African-American majority owner of any sports team. Maybe he felt a responsibility in his mind and in his community to actually say or do something politically. And I think that it's a good start, but I think a lot of people will kind of still remember the quote that he made years ago, Republicans buy shoes also.
Okay, K-Dog?
Well, all I got to say is that Michael Jordan, maybe he's seen the light. I don't know. We'll just wait and see.
Okay, and Brother B?
What white man did he get permission from to do what he did?
Wow.
That's all. Some white
wow,
man
yes,
said, Mike, he said, Mike, go give them some change and, you know, do
oh,
something
yes,
for your image.
Oh yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes, I think that was my next question. What is $1 million for Michael Jordan? Was that enough money to donate?
Oh please, that's pocket change, man.
Okay. Well, Brother B, Max, Milton X, and K Dog. Once again, guys, thank you for making the show very interesting.
Yeah,
can't
you're welcome.
Can't thank wait to do this again next week.
Yeah.
Till next
right.
time, guys.
Thank you.
Later.
Peace.
All right, you guys have a good night. All right.
All right.
Peace.
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 All right. Sean Black, you got 2 minutes, well, a minute and a half. What is your final thought?
My final thought is...
Okay, folks, thank you so much for tuning in right now.
I'll give you this. I think if you have any modicum of intelligence... and you can surf the internet, you can go and read a book, go to a library, whatever is the case. I think that if you're true to yourself, I think you can decipher through all of the nonsense and all of the garbage and the chaff that's out there, and you can actually make your own decision as to who has power, who is going to get power in far as voting. I think it's dangerous rhetoric to tell everybody, well, you shouldn't vote, you shouldn't go whatever. There are millions and millions of people that have the right to vote because of people before us that died to get you that part. I understand the political part of not voting or having a certain group of people not voting, but if you do not vote, when the wrong thing happens, you have no right to claim at all when the country falls apart. So
okay.
Go and vote, period.
Okay, you heard it from the man himself. Ladies and gentlemen, I just got a text from Anisha B. The reason she did not do the show tonight because her head hurts from Megan against the headboard over the weekends in Atlanta City doing something. I'm not going into details about it.
Oh, boy.
Well, folks, thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show. Right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most, the king of king himself, the high ride with the one and the only.
It is Sean Black and Anitra B. We hope you feel better and get back next week.
All right, guys. Have a good night. Be safe. God bless. And I wonder, if Hillary and Donald Trump gave me $1 million to screw them, would I do it?
Then that would mean the pleasure would be all theirs.
Ow! Good night, guys.
Good night.